Welcome you.
Hi. Welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast.
What was your thing you always did? Welcome.
Hello. Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, I stole yours.
That's okay.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, it has been a second. We apologize for the delay in the podcast. We've been very busy. We will talk about all the things we've been busy doing on the podcast.
This is an update podcast. And you can kind of tell a little bit from the slow start of us getting back into this.
Yeah.
But yeah. Was someone just trying to come in here? Like really annoying? Who was that? Lupe's in the room with us.
Yeah.
We
are currently in Portland, Oregon.
Day one.
With Taking Back Sunday.
Well, day one of Portland.
Yeah. Playing rock music. They are sound checking, I believe, at the moment, and so then we're gonna start getting set up next. So if you hear some guitars or drums in the background of this podcast, that is why.
It's a little bit of John Nolan.
Yeah, rocking the guitar,
rocking the guitar.
But yeah, we talk about the new record, playing new songs live. We talk about the fact that I just got engaged for a while. I kind of tell. Happen how I did it.
Yep. We talk about being Billboard top teners. Fucking rockers over here, top 10 rockers.
But yeah, so we'll be
1 week.
We'll be back in a couple days here with some more regular type podcasting. But we just wanted to give everybody an update, do a little chat. So
yeah.
Hopefully you dig it and we love you. And have a fantastic day.
We'll see. Goodbye. We'll see you. Goodbye.
Bye. Peace out.
Hey,
you are okay. Is out.
It is.
It's crazy.
I know. Yes. It is the album we've talked about for a while now, and now you know what we were talking about.
Yeah,
I should go back and listen to the one when we just finished the record.
Yeah,
and we're just saying all these very broad things, and I wonder if it makes any sense. Like, yeah, and there's like drums, and then there's like strings.
I think one of my It's interesting when the record comes out, seeing like, because you kind of have ideas of like which one you think that people are going to be into the most or whatever.
Yeah.
And then seeing when it actually comes out, like what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been kind of hard to. I don't know. I don't know. I think Heaven We're Already Here has been one that a lot of people
keep talking about.
Slip the Noose,
that
obviously.
One, okay, I'm going to say. I think there is that. I think people do like that song.
Yeah.
But it was the playing at the after the fest at the emo thing. That like, so I don't know if so many people, because that was the case, play like that we played it then, that yeah. It was like, ooh, I gotta listen to that song, and then them liking it then, yeah. But only hearing it once. So I'm curious. I wanna play it live.
Yeah.
And we're talking about learning it.
Yeah.
So
I think that'll be the next one that we.
Yeah, but Slip the Noose.
We add into the set.
Is bonkers every night.
Yeah, it's so fun to play live. I mean, Tim came back the other night after the LA show. That was the first time that he had heard it live, and we had only played it a couple times, and
yeah,
he said that's the best song that we've ever played live.
I think it is, and it's not difficult. It's just like
exhausting.
I'm so fucking tired when that song's over. Like, no matter what, even if we played it first in the set, I'd be like,
yeah, I'm just gassed
at
the end of it. Like, for me, it just gets like very fast at the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, the drum part like changes like 8 different times in the last like 25 seconds of the song. There's like 8 different parts.
Well, I think for me, it's like the only time I sing kind of in the set. And I'm sure I'm not breathing right. So I think that's maybe what it does, but it's my favorite song to play too. And I remember it was, I knew that it sounded decently good, It's because Lupe was watching us sound check it, and he went, "Whoa, you did." Yeah, Lupe's in the room.
Yeah, I think my best habit was one that I wasn't sure how it was going to be live, because kind of has like a groove, like kind of similar to English Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that one always like kind of feels weird playing it live.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the case.
No, it hasn't. It's like, yeah, yeah, for sure. Because I was thinking that kind of the same thing. I was like, because it's so groovy and kind of funky that it could be kind of like, if you're not in the right zone, it could be a little stiff.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the case yet. So it's
good.
It's going good. Yeah. It's crazy. Fun. It's so fucking crazy.
Just feels so good to have it out. Good mm-hmm. to have people hear it and have it. And
it seems like people are very much enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's been what we build everything up to forever. Mm-hmm. And now it's here. So
yeah, I'm excited to like definitely get more of playing more of them.
Yeah.
Like doing a headliner on these songs are gonna be pretty epic, I think.
We've played half the record now. So we played five songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
One for Forevermore, the acoustic one, so I guess that doesn't really count for us.
Technically we've played more, but
we're not on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, and then one of the craziest things is that the record, a lot of people bought it. We had our first top 10 album in the country, which is, you know, 12 years into our career is pretty insane. And
I don't know if that happens to many bands.
I don't know what's going on, but it seems like people are really getting behind it and into it and
totally
listening to it and supporting us. And
yeah, and I mean, going back, like just even playing, you know, these shows with TBS when it's like, it's definitely not our fans, but like playing the new shit, like it's just better songs.
Yeah.
And it like goes over so much better than like us playing. I mean, when we toured with them the first time, it was like, you know,
it was before Pioneer even came out.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think about. But yeah, just these going over so much better. So it's like, yeah, I mean, fans getting behind it and then like just people kind of hearing it and like backing it.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah.
And it just has it has a different feeling than I think anything else we've put out so far.
Yeah. Cuz I mean, Black Butterflies is probably like one of the craziest songs when we play it live, like or Bad Behavior, but when we played those this early on for that album, it was not the case, you know. It mm-hmm. like it took probably like 4 or 5 months for the songs to be like really good live.
Mm-hmm.
And this has just kind of happened instantly.
Yeah. I think it just goes down to, you know, people liking us for the last couple albums. So then like when this one came out, it was like
excited for it instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's felt like a big, like the next step instead of like a kind of a,
'cause I mean,
side step or something.
I was certainly afraid because, you know, I think Lovely Little Lonely will go down as like one of our most loved and important, you know, albums that we've done. And I didn't know if we were going to be able to top it, you know, and think, you know, so far it appears like people think maybe that we did that or got pretty close or something.
Well, and I think that this record has legs too, you know.
Yeah, it's gonna take people some time to, or, you know, to sit and listen to it. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of songs that go off in all these weird like directions that you're not gonna get instantly.
Totally. Yeah, and like even just like living with it for a little bit and like seeing people react, it's like, you know, just kind of, we can kind of figure out what to do next too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of exciting. I mean, like, okay, like just the fact that Flowers in the Grave is 10 minutes long and people are like taking it as like this important thing and like letting us be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so exciting for me. It'd be like, okay, like not that every song needs to be 10 minutes long and like do some weird change like a Paul McCartney thing or something. But like, it's like, oh, like can't, people are interested.
Can do that.
Yeah, people are interested. Like that doesn't scare anyone.
Yeah.
And like, doesn't like, like they're willing to go down that journey.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's, we got the dope ass fans, dude. They're like willing to fucking let us experiment and do cool shit.
That's kind of a cool story. Well, I guess we should tell a couple maybe like fun things behind the album. So the we should talk about Black Butterflies and Slip the Noose, because we talked about it on the YouTube live, so it's out there, so we can be open about
spill
it.
Spill the beans.
So
what do they say? Something about tea. You heard that?
The tea, yeah. It's like what's the gossip? You know, what's the tea?
What is it though?
It's just
drip the tea something. You know,
Lupe. What do they say? Just tea. It's like what's the tea? Yeah.
I thought it was because it's just called tea.
Yeah.
What's the tea?
Yeah.
I learned that in Europe, but I forgot. So I knew it was something with tea. Okay.
So when we recorded Lovely Little Lonely, we came in with a bunch of demos, and one of them was called REM, which what we called it, and it turned into Black Butterflies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had the same kind of vibe as the demo. The biggest thing that changed was the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it did end up kind of becoming a pretty completely different song. So then this time.
Well, okay. So going off of that, REM, the demo is much more like, which is Slip the Noose.
Yes.
It's much more like the original demo.
Yes. So basically what happened is we went in with this demo called REM. Colby thought it was good, but had some ideas to help us rearrange it in some ways. That became Black Butterflies,
which we were somewhat uncomfortable with.
At first,
we're like, "Oh, this kind of feels like super pop."
Yeah,
like the chorus felt like,
yeah,
not lame, but just like, can we do that? Like, just it could do like the anti-chorus.
Yeah,
we had never really done that, and Colby's like, "Dude, that's the thing. Got to do it." And we're like, "Okay," just like Colby's right about everything.
And so then on this record, we went and as we were writing, we went and listened back to REM again, and realized that Black Butterflies had changed so much, and we still thought that REM was a good song. So we decided to rework that, and that is Slip the Noose.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more true to how REM demo originally was. I mean, we did redo a bunch and change, you know, things and stuff. But so
I would say that it
basically
was,
they're the same song. It's just kind of two different interpretations of the same song.
Yeah,
Which is the first time that we've ever done that, and we told Tim that we were doing this, like, getting lazy. Like, you know, like, are you guys getting lazy? You don't have any more ideas for songs, and
which
just
might be partially true.
we just thought it was great, and you know, there are no rules, and you know, so we just said fuck
and
it.
As
you
in,
know?
It's the same song. Is there's four chords that are the same?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just, in our heads, it's like, oh, wait, well, we already worked on that one, but it put them next to each other. It's not the same fucking song.
No, it's not.
But,
yeah, it's kind of an interesting little fact.
Yeah, and I'm going to, like.
So for all the bands out there.
You're allowed to do that.
You're allowed to take your own songs and do them again.
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, that was the first one we finished.
Yeah.
For demos.
Yep.
It was like we were waiting for a long time to like start working on stuff. And that one actually came quick, but everything after that was very difficult.
Yeah.
But that one was just like, pretty instant, because maybe because it sat around for so long, and we're like, okay, well, clearly we like this after 4 fucking years.
Yeah.
Like, let's just make this, you know, a better version of this demo, and then, you know, that's good enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's interesting how you can, there are no rules.
Like, Flowers on the Grave is another interesting one. So we kind of, once we are in the studio, so the, there is like the core of the song, the first half of the song before the band cuts out and it goes just to the orchestral part.
Mm-hmm.
So that was supposed to be just the song.
Yeah.
And, so then we had the idea of adding, you know,
we knew we wanted to have like some sort of ending.
Yeah.
Some sort of like killers.
Yeah. But it was just going to be like one part.
Yeah, yeah. One single thought, like one, like hang on this one note and maybe have like a repeating vocal kind of thing and then go big. Yeah.
So then we started talking like, oh, it would be crazy and pretty cool if we added on this whole extra part of the song that was maybe like only on the vinyl.
Yeah.
And it was like exclusive to the vinyl. So like when people got the record and they put it on, they'd be like, oh, there's this whole other half of the song
that we could play live or not or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It can be,
but we thought like that part would be maybe too much just to put on the record, you know? And then, so we did it. And then as we were listening back to it, we were just like, we can't cut this down.
Yeah.
Like we can't have this only be on the vinyl, because we just thought it was too cool.
Well, we left the studio and we ended up having the demo of it, and we were driving around. And normally after the studio, we'd be listening to classical music.
Yeah.
That was our move. We'd put on the classical station and be like, not really talk and just like stare and listen to just weird classical shit.
Yeah.
And then, but after this night, John decided to put the demo on, and it took us like, we listened to it and like, I think he put it on like a minute or two after we left. And then we pulled into right at the end, we were like pulling into the house, and then we listened to it again. And we're like, yeah, we got to do that. Like, we have to.
Yeah. We're just going to have a 10-minute song on our album.
Yeah.
Very happy that we did.
But the first major string part was just the strings. It was something that you and me talked about for a while of doing that, like an Eleanor Rigby kind of song where just strings.
Yep.
And that was when our Don't Be Subtle thing was at its peak. We're like, what is all the crazy things we could do? And that was the initial thought, was that we asked John, we're like, hey, like, is there anything you have sitting around? And initially it was originally a piano thing that he worked on.
Yeah.
And then with the ability to use a computer, he just changed the piano to strings.
Yeah.
And so that sat around, and that was just there.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah, this could potentially be a song. And then it was Squire, when we actually started working on this, on Flowers in the Grave, as like a bigger thought. I think Key or John were like, hey, what about that string part as like the first next chunk? And we just changed the key to make it work. And that's how these things happened.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I mean, the song is 4 different songs in one. Which is something we've talked about a few times, but that's something we've tried to do forever. It just, we're too much of freaking turds to like actually try it. Cause I don't know. It's hard to like get out of your comfort zone and let your freak flag fly.
Yeah. Somewhere. I was trying to find this email.
An email.
I sent an email to John while we were making the album. About
in
how
Baltimore?
No, this is while we were while we were at home
demoing.
Yeah. And basically, it was like we talked about the exact thing that we ended up
doing?
Yeah, that really? Actually happened. I'll have to find it, and if I do, we can add it in here. But anyways, yeah. So that's the album. It's
what? So many weird notes about records. I'm so bad at too. Like it's just like these one word things. That like I'm like I'll be listening to a song and be like, oh, well, I gotta steal that.
Yeah.
And I'll put like Lou Reed, but like not a song.
Yeah.
It's like I'll remember. Oh, I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that the album, you know it. I can't wait to do the next Q&A and like people will hear it now and like ask. We should do one just on the record. That's what we should do. That's the next thing we should do.
All right, we will work on it. Coming your way.
I got. What did I do with? Oh, I totally fucking started talking about something else when we started talking about the Billboard thing. I'm sorry. I was still on a live song thing. Yeah. At the moment, I was like, it's so cool to play them live. But yeah, we're top 10, baby.
Top 10 freaking album.
I know. That's one of those things you never think are going to happen. And then it's funny when you find out it did happen. We just got off the plane in Europe. We're all like jet lagged, like so tired. And we're like, I really need a shower.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're number 8. And it was like, sick.
Number 8 album in the country.
See, yeah. Like it's, in, well, it's like in like, In your head, it's going to be this thing. It's like, oh, you're going to be at dinner or like you're going to be at a bar and we're all going to like go hang out and like be all fucking pumped. It was like, yo, cool.
Yeah.
See you in a couple of days.
We just want to say thank you to everybody that.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Made this such a success. Oh, I found the email. So this is August 17th. 2018, and what we ended up recording in October. You can read it loud.
Not sure if you'll be able to get this to make sense it in text, but what if day one, which was
the first half,
first half, day one song was most of the song in that vibe, and at the end was something like day 17, wow, which is the string song which we used. But in the same key, just breaking your heart to the end of the album. That would be something people have never heard. Mash it up, like those songs on Justin Timberlake's record, which is amazing. We talked about that. It's kind of an outro to the song and the entire album. Super emotional. Could stay in the song one vibe for more of the song and great lyrics and melody and bold thing to do. That's so cool. Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Day one and day 17.
Yeah, so we all the demos were just named after, like, so day one, which is kind of crazy that it's Flowers in the Grave. So that was the first day that John started writing stuff for the record. He wrote the intro
acoustic.
To Flowers in the Grave, the last song on the album.
So. Yeah, that was, I'm going to say that was the most difficult thing about making this album, was all of the newest demos were named, like day one, day 17, day 15. So it's like, wait, which fucking
hard
one is this?
Hard to keep track.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, fucking Heaven, it was called Epic Hits.
Yeah. So it was like much, much better.
That
to
one, it was like, oh, yeah.
Understand
that's
it.
A standout because, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
You called it.
Yeah. But, yes, we're on tour now. We're in Portland right now with Taking Back Sunday, playing here for 2 nights.
Which is that this is a interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really our first time where we have a whole tour where we hang out in the same city for two nights in a row.
It's happened like on we've done Chicago 2 days in a row,
a couple
like just
times,
like random things like this. But
to have a whole tour, it is cool. I mean, I don't feel like I'm on tour yet.
I don't either.
It just kind of feels like we're just hanging out.
Well, and it doesn't help that like we did the LA show, but we were there doing the pop-up shop before, and then we had like a day after. and yeah. after the show, and then it's like go into the. It's just it doesn't feel like tour yet.
Yeah,
but next time we talk, we'll let you know how we're feeling.
But no, it's been rad.
Good to see those guys.
Yeah, always. Good to be able to. I mean, these three albums that they're playing on this tour, we, you know,
changed our lives,
and we, you know, it kind of educated us on what we are into at the time, and kind of was groundbreaking albums that made us want to become
totally
a band. So mm-hmm. Definitely an honor to be a part of it.
For sure.
It's fun to test out the new songs, kind of get them feeling good for a different audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after this, we'll kick into our own tour, and by then we'll be really good at playing them, hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's the plan.
The
plan is that we'll be good.
I feel like we haven't had a big fuck up yet.
No. Yeah. we're knocking on wood in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. It's cool. It's good. It's exciting time. It just feels like there's constantly something going on, you know. We have a record, all these tours, and you know, playing songs. There's a certain energy about the first time that you play these songs in a city and the audience is hearing it. You know, you guys mm-hmm. are hearing it for the first time, so people are more excited about it too, you know.
Totally.
I think that's what I'm excited for this whole year, is that's what it's going to be like. The first, mm-hmm. the, you know, the first year after an album comes out is the best time of my life, you know.
Yeah.
It's
also
makes the shows fun. So
this is an epic time for you.
This is an epic time for me.
You're engaged.
I got engaged.
You got engaged.
Crazy. I'm the first one. First one to take the plunge.
Yeah.
Go all the way there.
It makes me very happy.
Oh, thanks. It's You gotta
let the people know how you did it.
It kind of doesn't sound that exciting, you know. But
I'm all ears.
I did it in.
How about this? We'll do a little
my own way.
We'll do a little little judging.
All right, cool.
We'll judge Pat's asking of a big question.
I just knew what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
and that was to me that was like the most important thing.
It should be. Yeah,
I knew.
You didn't go, hey babe, like, do you want to do this? Babe.
Want to get married or whatever?
Hey, dude, what up, bro? You want to get married, dude?
But
it wasn't like that.
No, it was not like that. I will keep most of what I said
to
myself.
That's for you and her.
But you know, I knew how I felt, and I knew what I wanted to express to her and show her how I felt, and so that. To me was the important part. I didn't want to do like the hike to the top of a mountain thing, because you know we don't really hike to the top of mountains often, so I wanted it to something to feel very us. And so I just she was on the couch at home
uh-huh.
hanging out, and I grabbed the ring, and I was like, oh, I got like really nervous, and I walked into the bathroom to kind of like
puke,
clear my mind for a second, kind of get it together. I ended up being in there for like 10 minutes. I think I washed my hands like 3 times. I was so nervous. I mean, I wasn't nervous. Like, I knew she was going to say yes. It was just, it's still a big thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just like looking in the mirror, like, all right, you got this. You're good.
Talk yourself.
Yeah. So I walk out and I get down on my knee and I do my thing that I wanted to say, and I had champagne prepared, and
wow,
some flowers and things, and then we got ready, and I was like, oh, we're gonna go to dinner, and then I had her family and my family all together at the bar restaurant that we met at.
Did she know that was happening?
No.
Oh.
That was she didn't even know where we were going. And then at a certain point, she figured out where we were going because of where I was
streets.
Driving. Yeah, because of streets.
Streets and things.
Because she is able to tell the streets.
She wears glasses?
Yes.
She could see. Sure. Maybe glasses. You should have taken her glasses.
Taking her glasses off.
Babe, you got to go blind for this one.
But she didn't notice everybody's cars in the parking lot. We walk in and everybody was there.
They go, woo!
So that was cool. I mean, like, my parents have known her parents for a while and stuff, but, like, all my brothers meeting her, her sister and husband and
her new
their kids and things.
Your guys' new other part of your family?
Yeah. So that was exciting.
It's very exciting.
You
told me the day before, I think. Yeah. No, you told me a couple days before. Like,
yeah.
You're like,
next time I see you, I'm going to be in.
I was like, engaged. Whoa. And then I was very happy. And I said congrats then, but I shouldn't have.
Because she could have said no.
She could have. And that I don't think we would have talked about it on the podcast.
But, you know, it is like, it's kind of a freaky thing. Like, it, you know, there's a part of me, you know, where it feels like, you know, when it hits me, it's like, oh, like, I mean, everything is the same with us and everything. But at the same time, it's like this, like, oh, like, I'm like entering this new chapter of my life.
Yeah.
This more, you know, adult thing, I guess. And, you know, it is, you know, every once in a while it gets a little like overwhelming. Not in like a bad way, just in like realizing. And, you know, I think in like what we do for work or whatever, kind of, it makes it weird. It makes it like, I don't know. There's like this underlying, like, I don't know. I feel like in other fields, maybe it's like more encouraged or something. Where this, I don't know, I was unsure, like, you know, but when I post about it, when I posted it online, I got very kind things from the people.
Because people,
everybody was happy.
Like, our band are nice people.
People enjoy love, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is that funny thing. Like, yeah, we're definitely adults now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've been thinking, not that, I mean, but just like, holy shit, like, everyone's going to start getting married. Everyone's going to start having kids. It's like our youth, in a way, is somewhat over.
Yeah.
I remember having that thought when we were writing. I was like, this could be the last time that we record, like, feeling like this.
Yeah.
Like, kids.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know? But all it is just... It's just the next thing.
But you know? I think it just is whatever you make it. You know, it is whatever you want it to be. And, you know, I'm excited to be able to have, you know, two parts of my life be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Have the band be, you know, something that makes me really happy and her and everything. So it's exciting and it's good, good time to be alive.
Sure. Well, so I'm the most happy for
excited.
You.
Excited, thank you.
I'm happy. I'm more happy for her.
Yeah,
she got a good dude.
So yeah, that is the update. This is the update on what's been going on.
Sorry,
and
it's been a while, homies.
Yeah, but we'll be back with another interview soon.
I'm sure you know how busy we've been. If you keep up with us,
yeah. It's been
hectic. We were in Europe like not that long ago.
Yeah.
We were in New York not that long ago. We were in LA.
We've been everywhere.
We've been getting around.
We've been all around the world, and I somehow managed
all around
to
the world.
Managed to.
Sure.
I think the fact that I got engaged during this time period says a lot about me.
I think it does too.
I just like to pile it on.
I know. I know, like, you do.
Never enough.
Yeah.
Never enough for me.
How can I do more? I'll get engaged.
Okay. Hey, a really hectic time for everything else. Right, let's just add something else on it.
That's okay.
But
that's the thing you do.
Keeps things exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Hope everyone is having a fantastic day. And we will...
It won't be a week, 2 weeks before the next no. one.
Not at all.
Maybe we'll do one from in, from Canada.
Ooh.
Hey, oh, okay, Q&A wait. Pod wait, let's, from Canada. Let's do this. Hey, so call in, give us some Q&As. I'm going to leave a number right here.
We're going to do the official you are okay question and answer episode.
The number is call into 401-267-8123. Anyone can call.
Yeah, we will.
It's a thing. Just call, leave a voicemail.
We will put you on the show.
You'll be on the next show.
Heck yeah.
Can these be gigs? You'll be on the next gig.
On the next podcast gig. Cool. Well,
all right.
Roll that outro. We're out of here. We love you.
Hell yeah.